Hi, and welcome to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we talk with patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals and do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. In early 2020, 24-year-old Nina Luker was completely blindsided by lymphoma. The stage 4 diagnosis, in her words, felt like a death sentence. But while powering through treatments in the thick of a global pandemic, Luker turned to social media to document and share her experience in a raw and unrehearsed way, and soon gained nearly 200,000 followers on TikTok who identified with her situation and cheered her on at every step of the way. Now officially cancer-free, Luker joined us on the Cure Talks Cancer podcast to talk about her cancer journey, her work with the Lymphoma Research Foundation, and offer some advice to those who may have recently received a diagnosis of their own.
First off, thank you, Nina, for taking the time to speak with us today. Can you start off by telling us a little bit about your cancer journey and how you came to be diagnosed?
Yes. So about a year ago, almost to the day, actually on March 11th, which happened to be the day the World Health Organization declared COVID a pandemic, I was also diagnosed with stage 4 diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. And I was 24 years old at the time. I was a Division I athlete at the University of North Carolina, and health and fitness was at the forefront of my mind throughout my entire life. So to hear the word cancer was as heartbreaking and mind-numbing as any person would feel, but given my history of having such a healthy lifestyle, it really shocked our family. The symptoms I was having before I was diagnosed were really unsubstantial. I had a few body aches here and there, and they were pretty severe, but nothing that would alarm myself or anyone around me. And I had only two occasions of night sweats. So for me to be at stage 4 with such limited amount of symptoms, again, a massive shock to myself and my family. So I found out through a biopsy that actually my dad was the one to encourage to get. He is ironically in the pharmaceutical business and sells a drug for classical Hodgkin's lymphoma. So I had the most knowledgeable expert closest to me. I attribute almost my life to that moment when he said, I want to follow through with more screening and testing, because without him, I could have let this go on. And being at such a late stage in the process, it could have caused my life. So on March 11th, I was diagnosed. And 1 week later, I started my 6 treatments of R-CHOP. I was having this chemo regimen every 3 weeks, which totaled a process of 5 months. I did not undergo any radiation. And one of the biggest hurdles I faced as a young female was the inability to freeze my eggs. I had only a week from the initial diagnosis to my treatment day, which for most people who are diagnosed, you have a little bit longer of a runway to make the decisions and go through due diligence of really setting you up for success in the future. So that was a really difficult moment. It's still something that I don't know the results of how my fertility was impacted. But 5 months later, after those 6 rounds of treatment, I was put into remission. I have had now 3 clear scans. I come up on my 4th actually in a week. So that is a very short glimpse of my story and kind of everything that came with it.
But then now, once you get that news, what is the next step from there?
So the next step was finding out what stage I was at. So I had to go through a PET scan after my biopsy, and I was told again that this could be really early on, given that I had nearly no symptoms. So again, I was set up to expect better results than I had. I was immediately put into an appointment for a PET scan. And that day I would find out that it was stage four. Now, knowing nothing about cancer, having none of it in my family, stage four to us at that moment was a death sentence. And on top of hearing you have cancer and then getting hit again with that severe of news was exactly the opposite of what we had expected. So I quickly had to understand stage four in non-Hodgkin's lymphoma is a different type of severity than other cancers and that this is treatable. I was given a 2/3% chance of surviving. And in most cancers, that's a very good number. But to be given a number is nothing I would ever want a single person to feel, because that number feels like it controls you. And that feeling is the worst feeling in the world.
What was treatment like having to go through that? Now, you get this news at the beginning of a pandemic. Obviously, that has to impact how treatment goes and how you go about finding it.
Yeah. So I had the best resource by my side. So I was set up immediately with the most incredible doctors at Penn Medicine, an amazing support system behind me. And a week later, I would start my R-CHOP treatment. Now, I was the only person who could go into every single doctor's appointment and every single chemo session. And as a 24-year-old who honestly had not a single word to say because I didn't know what was going on, it was setting me up for not success. And this is no one's fault other than the timing of this being a pandemic. So I would call in my parents and have them on speakerphone with me during doctor's meetings and appointments. And during my treatment, which would typically last 7 to 8 hours, it was me, myself, and I with my nurses. And I say this is a controversial thought, but not having someone by my side actually was a relief to me because I didn't feel like I had to entertain them while I was going through something that my body just couldn't handle. I had really bad allergic reactions to all of my medications every single time. So to have someone else's fear and worry plastered on their faces while I was going through this probably would have actually made it more difficult. So in both a very difficult vein, not having the closest people in my life by my side was extremely difficult. But at the same vein, I was able to focus on the one thing I could, and that was myself.
Yeah, definitely. And now that kind of ties into my next question. Being unable to have somebody there in the room with you obviously can be isolating, but eventually you turn to social media to kind of chronicle your story. And now you have more than 200,000 followers on TikTok, which is phenomenal. How would you say social media has helped you through not just the pandemic, but through cancer?
I could go on and on about this. And before this, I would have said social media is kind of a fluff. Both Instagram and TikTok, there's not a lot of authenticity. There's not a lot of vulnerability. And I can say confidently now that is totally not the case, especially for myself. So my goal was not to become this widely known person. My goal was to document in a video setting my story so I could look back and see what I was feeling, what I was going through, and kind of what I looked like through the process. It ended up being the most natural and authentic way for me to share that people immediately gravitated to that story. And I am someone who is always positive, and I have a demeanor that looks with life a glass half full. So for me to bring that into my cancer journey and document it in a way that was real positivity mixed with raw emotion gave a landscape that I don't know if there's another person who has touched that. And I was able to do this in a way that was short and sweet, and I could reap the support from each of these strangers who gave me everything. I mean, I would get reached out to over hundreds of messages a day from people saying, your story has touched me. I had a loved one who went through this and I've shared your story and it's given them optimism and hope, or I myself am going through this and I'd love to lean on you for some emotional support because we're going through the same thing. And to know that you're making a difference while going through something so tragic makes you feel grateful of what you were given.
Definitely. I took a quick scroll through before we hopped on the call. Your post declaring that you were cancer-free back in August has more than 350,000 likes, and it made me tear up. What was it like sharing that news with all of these people? What kind of support have you gotten even since then?
Yeah. So it's a bit interesting. When I post on TikTok or on social media, I do it in a way that is immediate. This is how I feel. I don't edit anything. I just put up what I'm feeling. And then I close the app and let it sit and really focus on myself, because I was just overwhelmed with emotion, both excitement, but mixed with fear and happiness and all of these messages flooding in. So it was a lot. I'll be honest. It was both the most miraculous thing I had, but at the same time, there was a lot of eyeballs on me. And it puts a lot of pressure, whether you can control what's going on or not. It's still pressure that you want to share your life. And this was my life. This was life or death. I wasn't sharing, I got a new job. I was sharing that my life could keep going. And that is a very powerful thing to put into the universe. So I didn't take it lightly. And to this day, I still get messages all the time and opportunities to speak to people who need that support. And I just find it to be, I think, the purpose of why I'm here and why I was given what I was given.
Definitely. So now you're working as an ambassador with the Lymphoma Research Foundation. So can you tell me a little bit about that, how that kind of became an organic kind of thing?
Yeah. So it was through social media that they found me. And I mean, having a community of people who have lymphoma it's a large community. I mean, unfortunately, this is a disease that touches millions of people. But to have a community like LRF who gave every ounce of support, encouragement, resources, mentors, workshops, they provided me with a group of like-minded individuals who understood what I was going through. Not a single other person in my life could actually relate to what I was going on in my body and my mind. And they gave me that support. They found me organically through TikTok and ended up becoming an ambassador through the power of what I was expressing over social media and the power of the community that they have cultivated.
So kind of in that vein, what advice do you have for someone who may have just received a diagnosis?
Advice is a very difficult thing. I steer sometimes clear of trying to give my opinion on how to feel, because when you're given something like that, no person is going to handle it the same. But there are a few things that I did in my life and I changed that helped me for the better. And I can share those and hope that those encourage others. But a few of them are creating a movement and exercise routine daily. And I know a lot of people might find, why are you doing that? You can barely get out of bed. But it gave me something to look forward to that would strengthen my body. And in that similar vein, I created a nutrition and diet that would only support my body. And that was really taking away sugars and making sure I was eating whole natural foods, which actually encouraged me to start my own vegetable garden. So I poured my entire love into this garden that was at a CSA nearby, and I was able to meet new people and escape into nature and do something that really filled my heart. And then lastly, being able to connect with people was the single most important part of my journey. And I would go on Zoom calls with my friends and bake muffins or make dinner with them. I would do arts and crafts like I was a kindergartner with friends. And being able to have that face-to-face experience, whether it's over a screen or in person, gives you the strength and makes you feel normal again. And feeling normal as a 24-year-old was extremely important to me. And I really took all of those pieces to help me get through what I did.
Lastly, how would you say cancer has changed your outlook on life?
Well, cancer was probably the most difficult yet most enlightening experience of my life. And so I use this term, and it's a little not gruesome, but what I was able to experience was as if I was living in my own funeral. I was able to hear and see the support as if I had passed away, but I was alive. And not many people get to see the impact they've made on other people until they've passed. Yet I got to see that, and I got to feel it for 5 months into present day. So the perspective I have is a sense of gratitude. If I could go back and change my life, I would keep cancer in the mix. I would keep it because who I have become since that is a person who is more aware of what brings them joy, is more able to see the simple pleasures in life, and to treat people with the utmost respect because you don't know what they're going through.
Well, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you think that patient audience would be interested in?
If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with a life-threatening or not even life-threatening disease, it does not have to be cancer. There's a few things that I learned that really helped me, because not everyone knows how to support those going through hard times. And one of those is checking in regularly, but not expecting a response. This is something that people take lots of things personally, and everyone expects the same treatment of getting all the updates, hearing how they're doing. But when it comes to something so severe, they're getting inundated with questions. So to offer that love and support and say, I'm here, I'm thinking about you, but don't feel as though you need to call me and give me all these updates, is a huge burden lifted from the person going through this. This could be virtual, it could be in person. Try not to ask every single question related to what they're going through, and really try and make them feel normal. They don't want to be talking about every single hard thing that they went through that week. Even though there's curiosity behind the scenes, that is a time and place to discuss. And lastly, just to be open and listen without trying to fix the issue. No one has the right answers. And if you can listen and be in a space of presence with them, that is enough.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
You are so welcome.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @CureMagazine.